life of the cross. So we think of the cross, of course, as being the place where death happened, the death of Jesus. Today we're talking of the life of the cross. And I'm going to read from Luke chapter 9, verse 23. And he said to all, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself?" So we'll have a look today at what life gets lost and what is the life that gets saved and how does it happen. Because as I said, the cross speaks of the death of Jesus, our forgiveness, God's love for us, but it also speaks of the ongoing life of the full salvation that Jesus won for us on the cross. Because he wasn't only on the cross to die, he was alive on that cross. In fact, he lived that cross all of his life. But there's an ongoing life of salvation from a kind of dying into a kind of risen life day by day. That's the cross in our life. And Jesus did live that life. And he bids us today, I believe, to be awakened to the power of the message of the cross. It's not just something in history. It is something ongoing. It is more than just a symbol. It is speaking all the time into our lives, a message, continually, about moving from one kind of life to another, losing one kind of life to gain another kind of life, which is what Jesus did for mankind on the cross, for humanity. So looking in the notes there now, the daily life of the cross is about having an understanding of the vertical and the horizontal dimensions of the cross of Jesus. That's one aspect that I want to discuss today. There's so much, of course, in the mystery of the cross. But I want to discuss this aspect concerning our daily life, with an understanding of the vertical and the horizontal. We find ourselves in God's presence in the very center of the cross. Where the vertical meets the horizontal is where we can find God in a very special way. Every day. As often as we can. The vertical dimension, I'm going to submit to you today, is the being dimension of our life in the cross. That's who we are, our being. And the horizontal dimension, that one, is the doing dimension of our life in the cross. And we find ourselves in the very center if we practice being still enough to connect to both at the same time. What we're doing, if we can connect that with who we are being, then we can understand the power of the message of the cross. And who we are in Christ, will affect so dramatically what we do. And it's in the cross. The horizontal doing is always moving through time across our vertical being. And so we have our being in the Lord. In Him we live and move horizontally through our life. In Him we live and move and have our being. But our being is in Him. And that's the way to start each day in the cross, is to be aware of that being in Him. Because that defines who we are. We are a being in His life. I'm just going to read further what's on the page there and then come back to how to live out of these two dimensions. So let's look at another scripture, Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. All things were created through Him and for Him. He was before all else began, and it is His power that holds everything together. He is the head of the body, His church, which He began, and He is the leader of all those who arise from the dead. King James says He's the firstborn of those who rise from the dead, so that He is first in everything. For God wanted all of Himself to be in His Son, everything in Jesus. It was through what His Son did that God cleared the path for everything to come to Him. All things in heaven and on earth, for Christ's death on the cross has made God one together with us all. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. And this is the drawing power. We had an encouraging word today in the worship time. Draw close to me. Well, this is the drawing. Jesus lifted up, and the Father draws all of humanity to Him. And this scripture makes it very clear. God cleared a path for everything to come to Him. All things in heaven and on earth, for Christ's death on the cross has made God one together with us all. Now, that's who we are. The world goes to a lot of trouble to try and find out how to identify itself individually, corporately. We talked a couple of weeks ago about belonging to this tribe or that tribe, and this is how I get my identity and so on. But this is what God has given to us, making us one together with us all. Now, I'm going to branch into a little bit of scientific reading right now. And I'm going to read just one sentence first. The laminin molecule has proteins that form a cross, giving a structure that can bind to other cell membranes. Now, about 8 years ago, about 2009, I received an email from somebody who used to be at Northern Beaches Church here in Sydney, and they moved up to the Central Coast, and they sent me this email and said, Paul, you've got to read this. Well, I had a look at it, and it explained about this molecule called laminin, and it was in the form of a cross. So I read a bit further, And it said, and this is just the scientific explanation of it, the three shorter arms, that is the top and the two arms across, are particularly good at binding to other laminin molecules, which allows them to form sheets. That's where we get the term lamination, things being laminated. The long arm, that's the one that goes down, if you can see the cross, you can see that that's where Jesus' feet were down at the bottom of the cross. The long arm is capable of binding to cells, which helps anchor organized tissue cells to the membrane. Now, that is about the body, a human body. I didn't read any more. I thought, that is fascinating. There were lots of other comments from Christians about this wonderful thing. This cell that was in the body that joined every molecule in the body together and joined different layers of membranes. And somebody said, this is better than the God particle. This is living inside of us. And I left it there and I thought, I'll really look at that one day. And I filed it under cross. And then this week, I was wanting to talk about the cross, and I thought, what have I got here about cross? And I had a look at cross, and there was this thing here. And I thought, all of a sudden it became alive to me. And I thought, that speaks volumes of how we are held together. Not only how Jesus holds us to himself, we sang that song today, in everything held by hands of mercy, but we are held together as one another in the body by a molecule that looks like a cross. And if you look at the diagram there, you'll see what is a just a diagrammatic version. It's with the cross formation. And then right next to that, you will see an actual electron microscope picture of the laminin molecule. And then somebody has put Jesus there on the cross on that laminin molecule to demonstrate just the message of this being drawn together, drawn. If I am lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. So now just a few points about this, not just this molecule, but the message that it speaks. There are so many parables, aren't there, in the Word of God? When I read this, I thought, well, see, this is not my revelation, this laminin thing, but I remember being in Bible school when the dean of our school would teach us things and say, go and read and research. And I remember reading a book of Andrew Murray. Anybody ever read Andrew Murray? On the Life and the Spirit. And I read that, and then he said to me, Paul, you'll be doing your 8-minute preaching presentation next Tuesday. Everybody had to do that. And he said, what do you want to talk about? And I said, well, I've read this book of Andrew Murray. And I said, there's just something in there. It was tremendous. But I said, I don't feel right about just talking about what somebody's written in a book. I've got to get to. And he said, Paul, did it become life to you? And I said, oh, yeah. I said, it's changed my life. He said, well, it's yours. He said, you can own it. He said, there's no copyright on the good news, on the gospel. So when God speaks to you in something like this, doesn't matter how many times it's been stuck on the internet, or if it is life-changing and you see Jesus in it, it can be another parable that is an awakening to you of one more wonderful way that God weaves himself into the creation, into our very lives, and gives us a picture of what he's doing. So I'm sharing this, as I say, not my original, but it has become part of how I understand more the drawing power of God and the way to live in the vertical being of God and the horizontal doing of who we are from being in him. So what we see, if you look at the top of that diagram, you see Jesus there with his hands, one on each side of the cross. You see his head there in the centre of the upper part of the cross formation as it comes down towards the heart of Jesus on the diagram. You see that the embrace of Jesus to his heart is there in those top three arms. He's embracing us. Down the bottom, if you look at the page, you see the diagram over on the left on your page. You'll see a circle at the bottom of that diagram of the laminin cell. That's actually called the anchor cell. That's where his feet were pinned. But that's where it can speak to us of being anchored in his word that tells us who we are. Or if somebody in the world is looking to find out who they are and they don't know about the cross, they will anchor themselves in some other kind of dimension of being. This is who I am. This is my tradition. I'm anchored to this kind of belief, whether it's religious or political or ideological, that anchors me. Well, we're anchored in the Word of God. And we're anchored in the cross in him. That is our anchor. His word and his presence become the anchor to our soul. And that anchor anchors us to the other parts of the body of Christ as well. Moves to bring the body together. So we have an anchor. You see, let's just now stop. The vertical dimension of that cross, as in this parable of this molecule, if you like, we have at the top, we have the head, the heart of Jesus. That defines who we are. We have the mind of Christ. Christ dwells in our heart by faith. That's us. That defines that person that was created in eternity before the foundation of the world in Christ. That's you. That's me. That has a life, a destiny before them. And that's who we are in him. And we have him drawing us to that heart, but we're also anchored in the tradition of the Word of God passed on by the apostles. And that is also anchoring us to what is real, part of who we are. Not just a book. When it says that that you look into the Word of God and you see your original self as in a mirror, and you move away and turn around. Don't forget what kind of person you are, because that is the you that was created in eternity before the world began. And when it speaks about you're looking into the Word of God, that is Logos. That's not just the Bible. It is the Bible that you do read about yourself. But when you look into the Logos, the person of Jesus Christ, that is reflecting back to you how you were created in eternity in the likeness of Jesus. And that is then awakened in you by faith as you get to know the truth of the Word of God. You get to know the person of Jesus, the Logos, and that becomes who you are. It is not just you anymore. It is Jesus and you. That is your life. That is your identity. That is the vertical position of your life. It doesn't matter what you're doing, where you're coming from is from your being, who you are. That defines it. So now we've got the horizontal. And if you can see that diagram again, you can see Jesus' arms out there, and you can see his hands pinned to the end of the horizontal. And that's our life. Now, if you can looking at the actual image there, if you look at the right-hand side, if you can see life moving from there, that's where you're heading towards there. That's the future, and it moves. And over on the other hand, that is looking at on your left-hand side, which is Jesus' right hand, you see that life is moving through time always. That's your life, moving, moving, moving. I'm going to do it this way. When you look at it, you see life moving along. You see life moving through time, day by day. You're looking at what's ahead, wondering what's ahead. Then you experience what is now. And then something of you becomes attached to what has passed. That's how your life goes. But it all passes through who you are. That's who you are. Our times are in his hands. From the beginning to the end, he knows what's on that horizontal line. So what have you got in your mind today? What's your horizontal? As you sit here today, what's your horizontal? What have you got up ahead? What are your concerns? Well, I don't want you to get too stuck in that, but you know that you've got things facing you. What has sort of come up in your life that has attached itself to you emotionally in this last few days or week? Of what has gone past? What is back there that you wish, I wish it wouldn't have happened, or I regret that had to happen? Why did that happen to me? Or you could be saying, well, thank you, Lord, for what that was. But that's gone. It can remain there as a memory, but that's gone. Where you are right now is now. Now, that's where you always are. That's your life. And the cross is waiting, your identity of who you are in Jesus Christ, is waiting to see how you can position yourself in the center of that cross to know how to manage what is coming. Because there are things coming into your life, into that frame of time that hasn't happened yet. It's on its way. And there are things that have gone. How are you managing what has gone past? Is it dragging you into some kind of dismal regret? Now listen, get back to the center, get back to the center, get back to the center, because that's where you are. You are not the past, and you don't know the future, but you know the present. And I believe that the picture of the cross is an awakening to us. Live there, in the center of who you are, and whatever comes, Jesus has your life in his hands. Anything else is not the cross. Or you can make your own cross. I visited a place years ago called San Gimignano. It was in Tuscany, in Italy. And I read about it before we went there. There were the patriarchs, or the patrician family in Italy, very rich and famous, and they would build towers in the city. I think there were 72 towers. There weren't 72 when we got there, but these were towers built. And they were built to commemorate the legacy of wealthy and important people. I would say self-important people. What they would do, they would build another tower. Some of them were 50 metres high, these incredible towers. And they were supposed to be these homes, but they weren't homes at all. They were basically just towers. But they were monuments to the vertical part of somebody's life that said, this is who I am. They built a tower. And that's what people do. In fact, life beckons young people, build your tower. Get something and build it. Now, that's not really bad advice for a young person if you've got the energy. Build your tower. There it is. But the problem is when somebody builds a tower, they say, that's me. No, what you do is not you. It is who you are, where you are anchored in your understanding of yourself, your real self. But if you build another tower of this is me because look what I've achieved, that's a wrong perception of who you are. And that tower is not really going to give life. And when Jesus said, if you lose your life, you save it, that's the life that you lose. You let the tower come down and you get into him who's the name of the Lord is a strong and mighty tower. I'll run into that and be saved. That's the message of the cross saying you lay this tower down, what you've built, and it could be a memory of the past or it could be an urgent agitation. I've got to get this thing so that I can be somebody. And a tower is built, wrong tower. Lose that so that you can save your life. Or save that and lose who you are. In him we live and move and have our being. I noticed that I meet with a group of fellows maybe a couple of times a year, to old boys from college, and they're making this thing a ritual, a meeting together. And there's a sense of the memories of the towers that have been built coming up in the lives. That's not a bad thing. But I compare, it's not all so much a bad thing, because some great things have been done by some very faithful people, you know, in this life and in this world, and they deserve the honour for what they've done. I'm not decrying that. But what I notice in some of them that are not kind of lamenting the fact that they aren't that tower any longer, in some of them, the very godly men, they're actually able to just leave that back there and be who they are and be interested in the people that they're talking to and ask them, how are things going in your life now? And it blesses me to see that people can let those things go. See, when you're young, you really, all you can do is build something because you're supposed to. And I don't say that's wrong. But at some point in life, you've got to be able to say, I can't add any more. I think I've got enough. And it's really not defining me because I'm losing. It's kind of getting me agitated. And if you can get, if a young person, I'm talking young, 40, and doesn't matter. It's very relative to me these days. But there's a tendency to have to keep adding stuff because the more and more you add, the more and more you feel you've got a vertical there somewhere. You say, well, this is me. You can read about it if you like. Just Google me and look at the tower. You know what happens when you get older? You don't add a lot. But things start to get taken away. You start to lose things. It just happens. You'd think I'd like to just maybe add a bit more. Can't do it anymore. And what's the point? What is the point of adding? I look at the stuff I've got in the house and I think, I've got to get rid of it. I don't need a monument to that. I've forgotten what that was all about anyway. But in Him we live and move and have our being. There's something beautiful in old age about letting go. There's something challenging and adventurous as a young person in adding on. And all that's part of the flow of life. But at some point, it's got to come past the cross. And at some point, we have to say, this is my strong tower, my refuge. In Him I live and move and have my being. And I will relate to anything that's coming or has gone or is here now from this place, because this is who I am. That's how you manage life in the cross. And that's how you take up your cross every day. And that's where you start every day. Otherwise, we end up with a wrong perception of who's going to take something off me today. It's my identity. It's not. Nobody can take who you are in Christ. And if it hurts, if somebody takes something away, say, thank you, Lord, for awakening me to the fact that that tower's got to go. We always have to come back to the refuge of our soul. I just finished with Matthew chapter 6, verse 6, where Jesus says, when you pray, go into your room, that is, into your heart. Close the door behind you. Speak to your Father in that secret place, or the hidden place is the better word, mysterium, which is hidden. And he who sees what's hidden will reward you openly. In other words, that's where you come to just get away from everything that's challenging you to try and see who you are and how you've got to defend what you've got or worry about what's gone. No, who you are. I love to get into that room, close the door. Oh, just get out of, just get away, close the door, say, Father, here I am. Okay, here we are. And he says, right. Now, how does he reward you openly? He says, this beautiful moment that we're having here together, thank you for starting today with me. This beautiful moment, I want you to take it out there. And I'm going to reward you with my presence out where it's all happening, where it might have threatened you once. It's not going to anymore. Your reward is my life. You've just saved it. You've just saved it because you've lost it. Thank you, Lord, for giving us a place to dwell, giving us a life to live, the gift of life. Giving us the courage to let go and yet be held on to. But you never let go. You reign forever. In our lives, and bless us with who you are and having us in you. Amen.